So on my way to the church building this morning, I saw a jogger. Any of you jog or run? Put up your hand. Go ahead. Go. Put it up. Put it up high. Put it. I got one. I see two, three, a couple. Yeah. You guys admit it. Pounding pain into your body out there. I actually did running for 2 years. I mean, faithfully, probably three times a week, I would do 5K because I knew I had to keep in shape. I thought 5K was about enough. I have this personal opinion that you get so many kilometers on your body, and when you use them all up, then you die. And so I wasn't going to use them all up jogging, but I knew I had to do a little bit of running to keep in shape. And so I was doing okay. I could click off my 5K. And then one summer, Saturday morning, I went for my run, and I was running along a concession road, and I saw a side road. I would pass a side road, and I thought, well, instead of going to my regular spot and coming back 5K, I'll just go down this side road to the next concession and then come back. It'll still be about 5K and give me a little bit of different scenery. So that's what I did. And then as I got to the end of that side road over to the next concession, stupid stepped in, and instead of coming back on the side road, I went left, or which would be east, up the concession, the different concession. By doing that, I added another 5K to my 5K run. Now, what I didn't take into consideration is, first of all, I hadn't run 10K ever before in my life. Secondly, it was hot, like it was over 30 degrees, and my other run, my regular run, had big trees and shade along the concession road. This one was just out in the middle of the fields. It was a dirt road, no shade, sun beating down on me. I had no water. I hadn't been prepared. And so here I am jogging away, just the sun just sapping the energy out of me, the heat sapping the energy out of me. As I got to the, with about 2 kilometers left, so I'm at about 8K now, my body is saying, stop. You fool, stop. And it keeps saying that. My mind keeps saying, no, one step more, one step more. Stop, you fool, stop. No, one step more, one step more. And then my mind and body got into an argument, and they said things to each other I can't repeat from this stage. And so I finally, and I did, I made it around the corner. I remember coming around the corner, and I was kind of just like, yeah. And I fell, when I got to my lawn, and the house, I fell on the lawn and just laid on the lawn like this. And I couldn't move. I was there for 15 minutes. In that time, my neighbor came out, probably looked at me laying on the lawn, wondered what I was doing, got in his car, backed out, I still hadn't moved, and then drove down the street, but stopped in front of my yard and said, Ed, are you okay? Which being interpreted means, like, are you having a heart attack or something? Do you need to go to the hospital? And I'm like, no, Tim, I'm fine. Go ahead and leave me alone. And so then he drove off, and there I lay on the grass. You know, sometimes we have to keep going even though we don't want to. No, I could have stopped at 2K, big deal. All that would have happened is I wouldn't have had a story. But I could have stopped. But sometimes you don't get to stop. And you have to keep going, even when you don't want to. And Paul's writing this, that message, to Timothy, his protege, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And Paul writes and says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." If I understand the scriptures right, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. You don't say, hey, be strong, unless the person is facing something and they feel weak, is facing something that's beating them down. You don't say to someone, hey, be strong, unless they're at work and facing opposition because they dare to stand for Jesus in some way, or you say to somebody who is getting pressure to lie to a client in order to cover up a mistake. And the person doesn't want to lie because that wouldn't honor Jesus. You don't say to somebody, hey, be strong in your situation, unless they're standing for somebody who's being harassed, whether it's school, in your neighborhood, your family, or at work. And you know Jesus would do the same thing and stand for that person, so you are, and now you're getting it. You don't tell somebody to be strong unless they're staying in a marriage because they believe Jesus is calling them to stay in and work hard. You don't say, hey, be strong, unless somebody is leading a ministry and they're getting opposition from other people and they're ready to quit. See, Paul is writing to an individual who is facing adversity and trial. And he says to them, hey, be strong. Now just kind of leave that sit there for a second, because I want to talk about this, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I just kind of want to go on a little bit of a tangent. When we talk about grace in our setting, often we think of grace as undeserved favor, because the message of Jesus Christ is this, that we are broken and sinful and it separates us from God. Jesus loved us and so came to earth, became a man, took our place on the cross, died for our sins to pay eternal justice and eternal righteousness and to meet the just and righteous commands or demands of God, the righteous laws of God. And so fully paid for our sin and now offers to us forgiveness of sins and a new life, a new relationship with God. And we don't deserve any of it, and we call that grace, undeserved favor. And so if you have not personally made a decision to receive Jesus as your Savior, that's the grace that God has for you, undeserved. He, Jesus, has taken your place, died on the cross, to pay for your sins before God, make you right with God, and now waits and offers to you an opportunity to receive him as your Savior. What are you going to do with his grace, his undeserved favor? But usually when Paul uses that term and he's writing to people who have already made that decision, in other words, people who are followers of Christ or Christians, that term doesn't refer so much to undeserved favor. It has a second meaning. It means divine enablement or divine strength poured out from God into our spirit and our soul to enable us to stand or to endure or to keep going when we don't want to. A number of years ago now, our youngest son was five or six, and his bedroom was upstairs, and Crystal and I were downstairs. I think we were probably watching TV or something, and all of a sudden, it was kind of later at night, and then we heard this terror screaming, like this yelling out loud, like somebody was being burnt or something terrible, and it was just this piercing scream, and I got up and ran up the stairs, and I hear it was coming from Brett's room. I burst in, and he's just sobbing on his bed, just sobbing and shaking, and I come in, and I'm like, Brad, what's wrong? What's wrong? And you know, I'm trying to get him settled down, and he starts to stop like that, and the long and the short of it was he had had a terrible nightmare and woke up screaming, thinking that was true. And so I'm trying to settle him down, and he's still breathing. His breathing starts to come down a little bit, and I'm like, okay, Brett, you'll be okay. But every time I went to walk away and close the door and let him go back to sleep, he'd start crying again because he was still afraid. And so it didn't take me long. After about six or seven times, I realized I'm going to have to stay here. And so I got in the bed, and he laid on the bed, and he snuggled up beside me, and we just talked and talked about what was going on and talked about his nightmare and just talked about, you know, what he did that day. And I could tell, I could just feel him going. After about 10, 15 minutes, the talking started to get less and less, and then I could hear the. His breathing, his sleeping breathing. It was my presence that somehow gave him the courage and strength to deal with the terror that he had been facing and get through it, get over it. And that's exactly what happens when Paul talks about the grace of Christ Jesus being strong in it. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the downloading of his strength into our soul comes from being in his presence. It comes when you connect with him relationally. That's why we talk so much about seeking God in his word, seeking God in prayer, seeking God in worship. Because when we engage with God in his word and in prayer and in worship, there's a downloading of his grace into our soul. That's why worship Sunday morning is so important. More happens in our hearts, I think, on Sunday morning when we engage than any other time, because we uniquely come into the presence of God. And so Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he gives him two areas that he's going to have to be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus. He said, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So Timothy, be strong in God's grace when you're giving ministry away. What I found interesting about these two things is we tend to want to keep this one and give away the other one. And God says, no, give this away and keep the other one. And the first one is give away the ministry, give away power, equip other people. Get them, let them be involved in the ministry. Train them how to pass the ministry on to others. Train them how to lead people to Christ. Train them how to teach the scriptures. Train them how to serve children. Train them how to lead a life group. Train them how to reach out to other people. You let them do the ministry. You equip them, and they do the ministry. And you'll need grace for that. You need divine wisdom and strength. There'll be sometimes you're misunderstood. There'll be sometimes when you're attacked. There'll be sometimes when you're doing the same thing over and over and you wonder, am I getting through? And you'll need the grace for that. And then he says this. Not only give the ministry away, but I want you to keep something. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I memorized this verse in a different version. It says, endure suffering with me like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Endure. Join with, now isn't that an odd invitation? Join with me. Hey, come on. Join me and suffer. You know what I thought of when I heard that invitation? I heard, you know, they have these polar bear clubs. Usually they come out about January, people, and they crack the ice. Yes, Ashley, our lakes do freeze over. We've been hiding that from you, but the reality is our lakes freeze over. And few people, actually go out in January, crack the ice, and then go for a polar bear swim. And if you've ever been there, has anybody ever watched somebody, I'm not going to embarrass you and say, has anybody ever done that? You're really a bit of a hero, really, I got to admit. Has anybody ever been there and watched people do that? Okay, what do they say, Tom? It's cold. Okay, they do say that, but what else do they invariably say? You don't know. I put you on the... Didn't we practice this? No, I forgot. Yeah, I didn't send you the email. Sorry. No, here's what they always say. Well, I've never sat there and watched them. I watch them on TV. Hey, come on in. The water's great. Don't they always say... Don't you hear them saying that? Hey, this is bad. Come on in. And you're thinking, like, you've lost your mind. Come on in. That's like Paul here. Hey, Timothy. Join me in suffering. I'm like, you crazy, Paul? That's what I want to give away and avoid. Now, this invitation comes and seems strange to us because we don't understand our calling fully. In the kingdom of God, the invitation to suffer is normal. In fact, Paul says, join with me in suffering like what? A good soldier. Say that, like a good soldier. Like a good soldier. In fact, even he kind of gives us a hint. Now he's going to talk, Paul's going to give us three metaphors, one of a soldier, one of an athlete, and one of a farmer. And Zach and I are going to preach about this over the next 3 weeks. I'm going to talk about the farmer or the soldier. He's going to talk about the athlete. I'm going to talk about the farmer. And the first illustration kind of gives a hint why he uses the metaphor, hey, join in suffering like a soldier joins in suffering. And he says this, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So that's supposed to be the hint for us of how we change our perspective to understand why suffering is a normal part and enduring is a normal part of being a follower of Jesus. Because we're called to follow Jesus, like soldiers are called to follow their commanding officer. There's two things about soldiers. Civilians, in the face of an enemy and somebody attacking them, civilians flee, but what do? They fight. Civilians flee when danger comes, soldiers stand, and they fight. A soldier doesn't get upset because somebody yells abuse at them or somebody yells bad things about them or slanders them or opposes them or causes them trouble or wants to kill them. A soldier doesn't get surprised at that stuff. They don't get upset over that stuff. It's just part of being a soldier. People try to kill you. Now, while that is the extreme for a follower of Christ, for sure, it's not unusual as a follower of Christ for you to face opposition and to have to endure things. Things like attacks because you stand for Christ. Things like putting up with things at your home. You never, other people say, oh yeah, leave. But Jesus is calling, and sometimes Jesus calls you to leave, but sometimes he calls you to stay. Or to submit. Or to love somebody who doesn't love you. And Jesus calls us to stand. And as soldiers, we shouldn't be surprised that it's hard and difficult sometimes and that we have to endure. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I have said these things to you. He's talking to his disciples. That in me you may have peace. Why would they need peace? Well, because in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Like Jesus said, it's going to be hard. You are going to face things that aren't easy, that aren't fair, that are difficult. But to have peace because I'm with you and I'm calling you to this, and I faced it too. And sometimes in our hearts, because we want to avoid difficulty things, that's a natural default in all of us, we somehow get surprised that following Jesus requires us to kind of take some hits sometimes and to put ourselves out there and to endure some things. And Jesus told us it'll be that way. And so you're a soldier. You're called to be a soldier. Don't be surprised if there's a fight now and then. But be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't be surprised if you're facing things that challenge you deep in your soul and crush you, and God is silent. Because you're a soldier. He's there. Find grace and strength in Him. Endure. Or as Paul says, join with me in suffering. Well, there's another thing about soldiers too that he said. They don't want to, so civilians want to please themselves, but a soldier wants to please their commanding officer. So not only when the fight comes do civilians flee and soldiers stand, but when discomfort comes, the civilians try to find comfort where soldiers will perform duty or remain obedient. Well, just take something simple like rain. Rain. When it rains, what do? We run to get cover. We run to our cars. We run to our homes. We put up umbrellas. What do soldiers do in the rain? They endure. They do not leave their post. They stay. Why? Because they like the rain? Oh, obviously not. They don't stay because they like the rain. They stay because they're committed to their commanding officer, and they are going to please him even above themselves. Well, that's an interesting way to look at Jesus, our commanding officer. We have been called to stand at some times. Not to run to where it's comfortable, but to stand where it can be uncomfortable and find grace and strength in Jesus. So the perspective here, that's why Paul says, join with me in suffering, because he fully expects if you're going to follow Jesus and serve him, there will be times where you're going to run into tough circumstances and difficult things, and you can't be like a civilian. You can't protect yourself and run and flee and seek comfort. You have to stand and be true to Jesus and take the hits that may come. I'm not saying being stupid. Same being true and obedient. Now, Jesus isn't asking us to do something he didn't do. You know that, right? You know, this is not, Jesus isn't like, well, you know, I got through earth without any problems, but, you know, too bad for you. You're going to have some. I mean, this comes from the one who left perfection in heaven, where he had no issues or problems, where it was glory. He left that to come to earth to take on a human body. That in itself was a sacrifice, to experience hunger and thirst and hurt and pain, and to have people attack you, to feel physical pain. He felt all that, which he would never have experienced in heaven. And so he absorbed that. But it wasn't just that. He took the opposition. You know, read the Gospels, how many times people opposed him and lied about him and said things that were absolutely untrue about him, and how many times demonic hosts tried to attack him. How many times did even his own followers betray him? How many times did Jesus face suffering living on this earth? And then ultimately, he's in the garden. And why is he in the Garden of Gethsemane on the last night he was alive? He was there because he knew his next step was to a cross where he would be crucified, where he would feel the deep pain of nails through his wrist and his feet and the whip and a lash on his back, and where he would suffer in front of people. And that was just the easy part. The hard part was then he was going to be totally pushed away by God, forsaken by God, where he would feel the full wrath of God on him and his soul in a place we never could see between him and God. And God was ripped apart like the temple veil was ripped apart. God was ripped apart. And Jesus was forsaken by his Father. And in that garden, he said, Father, like, take this cup away from me. I don't want to go through this suffering. And the Father said, and then he said, but nevertheless, my will, not yours. And he submitted as a good soldier to the commanding officer. If this is what it takes, I'll do it. But are you sure this is what it takes? And he got up off his knees and he went, and he was attacked, and he was taken arrested, and his disciples tried to defend him. You know, when Peter cut off Malchus's ear, and Jesus turned, and he said, do you not think I could call 12 legions of angels at my command if I wanted to? Do you know what 12 legions of angels are? 72,000 angels. Rome didn't have, off the top of my head, there was very few times Rome had a 12-legion army. They had 12 legions, but never together as one army. Very rarely. That's a massive army. And imagine what 12 or 72,000 angels could do in an afternoon. Free to get out. But he said, no, this is the will of the Father for me. And so he endured. And he endured right to the end, because on the cross, his final words were what? It is finished. And so from that, our commanding officer, Jesus, he sets the bar at what it means on how to endure. And he gives the grace. He knows what it takes and how we can be pushed and how hard. And he goes, I will give you the grace you need for the situation you face if you're doing it for my glory. Endure. Paul says, hey, if you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to mean some endurance sometime. It's going to mean some suffering sometime. Join with me. I'm in it. Jesus is faithful. You can count on him. Join with me. Let's follow him. This is what we're all about. After all, we are soldiers. We are soldiers. And you, if you're a follower of Christ, are a soldier of Christ. It's one metaphor that Paul uses. You have been called to stand in the gap and not shrink back ever until he relieves you. To guard that pass and don't let anybody through. Ford that river and don't let anybody stop you. Face their best army and don't give up. Stand and never retreat. You are called to that as a soldier of Christ until he relieves you and gives you a new assignment. And until that time, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And you will overcome. You will. What's God saying to you today? I got to think, some of you are facing some difficult things. Maybe God's word to you today is stop thinking about this, stop trying to carry this on by yourself. Instead, you need to get to somebody and share with them what you're going through. You need to pray with some other people. You need to talk about what's going on. You need spiritual support in your life group, or a friend, or mentor, or somebody that can pray with you and help you in this. Maybe that's your next step. Stop being isolated and being alone. You're an easy target when you're alone. Get with another believer, somebody who understands what I've been talking about, somebody who will pray with you and listen to you and help you. Maybe your step is to be alone or in the presence with Jesus. You know, it's his presence that gives that. He just, when we're with him and we're connecting with him, he downloads the strength that we need. And so you did the right thing coming here this morning to hear him and to be in front of him and to worship him, because when you're truly engaged, now you can be here and miss it because you're not engaged, but when you're truly engaged in your heart and your mind and then you're calling on God, his presence changes you and me. And then maybe it's, I need to get back to spending time with God. I need to take an evening and just be with God. I need to get back to on my knees and start praying about this. I need to call out to God and trust him. I need to listen for him when he's speaking in worship. Maybe that's your step. Or maybe you need to make a commitment, because this isn't going to go away and God's waiting for you to make a commitment. Are you in or are you not in? Are you going to say publicly to whoever you have to say it to, in this situation, I am in. I'm making my commitment. I'm going to stand for God. Whatever comes, I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to trust him. Or are you going to choose not to? You've kind of been in between, and that's why you're struggling. And until you make the commitment to trust Jesus and walk with him for whatever that means in your situation, or you're going to say, I'm just going to take a pass on this one. You need to make that commitment. Now, obviously, I'm going to say trust Jesus. That's the wise choice. This one only leads to another set of problems. And maybe that's your thing. You haven't made your commitment. You need to settle it and declare it to the people you need to declare. I am in when it comes to this issue, when it comes to this situation, when it comes to this course of action. I'm in. I'm going to trust Jesus. So I was, Tim drove off, and I stayed laying in the grass for a little bit longer, and then I said, I got to get off the lawn before somebody calls 911 and the ambulance comes. And so I kind of stumbled to my feet and went inside, had a shower, and ate something, and got dressed and went to work. And a funny thing happened when I was at work. I got to tell you, for some of you, it wouldn't have been hard pushing through and jogging the 10K, but for me, that was a major victory. And I felt good. I felt exhausted, but I felt good. I had accomplished something. I had stuck it through. I had pushed through. And there was this sense of, wow, I feel like I did something significant. That was just lasting 2 kilometers. I think that's what James is trying to capture, or God is trying to communicate through James in James chapter 1. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the woman, who remains steadfast under trial, for when you have stood the test, you will receive a crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. That when you keep going, when you don't want to keep going, when you endure, there is a reward. There's a physical reward that you will feel here to know you have been faithful and you saw it through and you didn't quit brings a sense of accomplishment and joy that is amazing. But then to know that in the end, when you meet Jesus and he said, you know what, you had a hard test. And sometimes it might be a test that goes for years. But you were faithful. And now I'm going to reward you. That's what we're shooting for. To please our commanding officer. Not please the flesh. Not please the people around us. But to please, like a good soldier, to stay and fight and not shrink back. And not seek to please our own selves, but to please him. When you stand the test, there rests and waits for you a crown of life that God himself will give to you. Endure. Persevere. Wait on God. Jesus, hard words. I know when I was in the middle, or I am in the middle of these things, that's the last thing I want to hear. And yet to push through and to keep going when we don't want to keep going brings you glory and joy. Now I want to pray specifically for some people here who are facing some difficult things. Because for them, pushing on and doing what you want may be different. For some, it may be stepping out and removing themselves from a situation. For others, it may be keeping in that situation and remaining faithful. Only you can give that kind of wisdom. Grant them the wisdom and the direction that they need. For some, they're at the end of their strength, and they need that grace infused in their lives. And for others who have stepped out and they quit, they need to come back and find the start over, the reset button, and press it. Grant them the courage to humble themselves before you and just seek you and find the grace that they need. And for a church, God, may we honor and treat you as our commanding officer, following you because you are worthy to be followed. Would you breathe strength and meet with your people? As we go into worship, would you speak in a very clear way to those that need to hear your voice this morning?